This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In vitro fertilization treatments have become the latest front in the political battle over reproductive rights. Republicans have been distancing themselves from an Alabama court decision that threatens access to the procedure. As NPR's Lexi Schuppetel reports, that includes the frontrunner for the GOP presidential nomination.
The Alabama Supreme Court ruled last week that frozen embryos created through in vitro fertilization qualify as children under state law. Since that decision, at least three fertility clinics in the state have paused IVF treatments, citing uncertainty and fears of criminal prosecution or civil liability. That has left Republicans grappling with how to defend the procedure, which is popular with Americans across the political spectrum, while also arguing that life begins at conception. Former president and current candidate Donald Trump has gotten into the fray, urging the Alabama legislature to preserve IVF treatments in the state. Writing on social media, he called on lawmakers to, quote, act quickly to find an immediate solution. Lexi Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Several Western leaders have gathered in the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, in a show of solidarity on the second anniversary of Russia's full-scale invasion, among them the prime ministers of Italy, Canada, and Belgium, and the president of the European Commission. At this juncture in the war, by many accounts, Ukraine is struggling, and the mood is bleaker than a year ago. And according to Oleksiy Danilov, the secretary of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council, Russian forces are taking advantage of delays in the delivery of Western military help. Danilov heard here through a BBC interpreter.
The situation is difficult, complicated. Unfortunately, we are somewhat hostage to the speed with which our partners help us. The 60 billion U.S. aid we are counting on will come to us sooner or later, but if you don't do something on time, then keep it in mind that it will cost you a lot later.
A Russian national living in an Atlanta suburb has admitted to laundering more than $150 million. Jim Burris from member station WABE reports this money went to fund Russia's war against Ukraine.
In addition to money laundering, Felix Medvedev also pleaded guilty to one count of operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Georgia says Medvedev registered eight companies in the state, which he used as fronts to illegally funnel tens of millions of dollars back to Russia. Medvedev faces sentencing in early May. Since Russia invaded Ukraine, the U.S. Department of Justice has had a heightened focus on prosecuting and seizing illegal Russian-backed funds. Task Force KleptoCapture, as it's called, has so far seized more than $700 million. For NPR News, I'm Jim Burris in Atlanta.
This is NPR. The U.S. military says an 18-mile oil slick has been created by a Yemeni Houthi attack on a British-registered Lebanese-operated cargo vessel 6 days ago. The vessel was struck while sailing through straits connecting the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. U.S. Central Command says the ship was transporting more than 41,000 tons of fertilizer, which, if that cargo spills into the Red Sea, would worsen what is already an environmental disaster. The American spacecraft that landed on the moon Thursday appears to be lying on its side, not standing upright. NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce reports that otherwise it is powered up and stable.
The Odysseus lander is shaped like a tall phone booth with six legs. As it touched down on the lunar surface, it seems to have tipped over and is now leaning on a rock. Steve Altemus is CEO of Intuitive Machines, the company that built it.
So far, we have quite a bit of operational capability, even though we're tipped over. And so that's really exciting for us. And we're continuing the surface operations mission as a result of it.
He says flight controllers are communicating with Odysseus and downloading science data. This is the first U.S.-built spacecraft to land on the lunar surface in over 50 years. NASA funded it as part of its effort to return to the moon. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.
Former talk show host Wendy Williams is thanking well-wishers for their response to news she's been diagnosed with dementia. A documentary about her struggles is airing this weekend on the Lifetime Channel. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.